And we are going to continue on in our series, guys, on our a community life together. This is flowing out of one of the passions that we do have, so a little preview of Base Camp if you are going to join us. One of the passions that we have as a church is simply called hanging out. And we believe that there is incredible divine power, not just power, but divine power in building relationships with one another under the lordship of Jesus. That God wants to do and does do things that are really special in our lives through the community together, through investing in relationships with one another. But the reality comes, and that's what we're looking at in this series, is as we invest in that, and as we spend time together and we live in close proximity together and maybe do some ministry together and spend some time barbecuing, after a while, inevitably, the honeymoon wears off. And the reality that you're an imperfect human and I'm imperfect human, they kind of clash. And we get annoyed with each other. You know, it's like if I meet you the first time, you're walking through the door, and it's like, man, you're perfect to me, and I'm perfect to you. It's like, wow, this is that person that just came today. Did you see the first perfect person ever that walked in the room? They're just so nice and wonderful, and everything's great. But the reality of investing in deep relationships, in real relationships, is hard work. And over time, that little annoying habit or that cute little habit becomes suddenly annoying. Or the way that the person talks like this becomes hurtful. Or, man, that was rude. Or, why did they do that? So there's a crossroads that comes inevitably. And this, I'm applying it to church life and community, but you can back up and say this happens in all relationships, whether it's a friend, whether it's a child, whether it's a spouse or a coworker. And when that comes, we have the opportunity to make a choice. We can either run away, because that's easy, run away and continue in a vicious cycle of shallow relationship, or we can press in and go deeper. And that's part of our passions, is to go deeper, to hang out and then press through. So the question for us today is how? The question for this series that we're looking at is, how do we deal with it when community life gets hard? Because it does, or it will. And so the first week we were here, a couple weeks back, we set up a premise. We went to a passage in Colossians chapter 3 that sets up and really gives us the foundation for how do we deal with it when community life gets hard? And it's a beautiful passage because Paul, the pastor of this church at Colossae or whatever you say, is really answering that exact same question. Because guess what? The first church, the early church, was not the perfect church because it still had us involved. So there was the imperfection of humanity and the struggles that we all bring to being a family together. And so he was writing to a church that was stoked on what God's doing and stoked on God's good news and the redemption they were experiencing, but they were also struggling. So Paul wrote these very encouraging words. As God's chosen people, in verse 12, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive even as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And that was kind of the quick punchline. I would encourage you to go back to that message. You can get it on the weareelevation.com podcast from a couple weeks ago because there's a lot of depth to it. And we really kind of unpack how Paul's not talking hypotheticals here, saying, someday, if you need patience, he's like, you can get some very specific things of, I know you need patience because this person's bothering you, and writes in that kind of ad hoc fashion where he's trying to show them, how do we live out this new life in Jesus in the context of a family that doesn't want to just run away when things get hard, wants to go deep. So he's writing in that context. The summary word, though, we saw from that first week is grace. Grace is that undeserved goodness. To model and live out the life of Jesus in our life together is to have undeserved goodness be that overarching ethos. Because that's what Jesus modeled for us in our life. Undeserved goodness. You think about that. undeserved goodness. When someone wrongs you and hurts you and annoys you in community, they don't necessarily deserve goodness. It may be legitimately they wronged you. But think how much, and that's where that verse says, forgive even as the Lord forgave you. And that's like, whoo, that list is long if you're honest. And it's that same spirit of undeserved goodness over and over. And Jesus modeled that. He didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to, you know, mete out this harsh punishment of this is what you all deserve. Rather, he modeled a life in which he said, I'm going to overcome evil with goodness. I'm going to overcome the vicious cycles, those habits we get into. And that's the whole Sermon on the Mount, as he's saying, you guys have seen it done like this, right? Anger and lust and all these things. Those are vicious cycles. Let's overcome that with undeserved goodness. So the Bible calls that grace. And so when we ever even think about approaching community life, and as it gets hard, the first and foremost and primary thing that is supposed to reign over all that and in and through all that and whatever we would do is grace. To press into relationship with one another is grace. And within that, we saw last week, within part of grace, there is something that gets difficult. And that's where Jesus said, there comes a time and a place in the midst of showing grace where it is appropriate to speak the truth to someone who may be wronging you. That this idea of grace doesn't mean that we just let hurtful attitudes and actions just persist and just continue to go on and eventually, you know, get in and get into the roots and get toxic and destroy relationship. Jesus said, no, in fact, there's a very, very important place for truth to be spoken to one another in community. We saw that last week in just one summary verse that is mind-blowing in what Jesus says is, if you are offering your gift at the altar, Matthew 5, that's like being in a worship service. So you're worshiping God in your regular weekly rhythm. And you there remember, and we saw that's more like it's stuck in your mind. You know it's an issue. It's on your mind. Not like this, oh, I remember, but like it's sticking with me. That you've got something against your brother and sister, or they've got something against you. Leave your gift right there, the front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled. Work on it. Then come offer your gift. Strong, strong message of Jesus that to God it's more important for you to be at peace with your brothers and sisters than it is for you to do personal acts of devotion in a worship service. That's last week's message, so check that out as well because there's some depth to that. That's a strong statement, but it's coming right out of Jesus. How important it is for the time and place to speak the truth to one another so that we don't let the stuff build up that toxically can destroy us and our community. We saw some deep reasons why this matters so much to God. All about relationship. We're redeemed. His redemption in our life is about changing, transforming, healing our relationship. First with him and then with other people. We saw then also that he wants us to be representatives of him in the world. And so he wants the church to be a place where people can look and see, wow, I see that, yeah, they're human and they struggle, but the way they interact ultimately loves binding all things together and covering it. There's something attractive there. And I need more of that in my life. And I need to learn how to, rather than run away and just keep shallow, press in and go deep and have real relationship where they know how to forgive and be compassionate and be humble and be patient with one another. That is a message that is hard to come by, hard to experience, hard to find. So Jesus is saying, if you can live out my life in you, the church will be attractive to the world and draw people to me. And lastly, we saw, and that segues into today, we saw a very, very crucial aspect of why would we go to the hard work of speaking truth to one another? And we saw in Ephesians 4, it says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect mature. And that is that sometimes difficult to swallow reality that if we want to grow into the people that God has destined us to be, I need you. And that bothers me sometimes. Because I just want to be by myself sometimes and just wish that, why can't you just heal me and make me whole and just all by myself, God? It would be so much easier if it wasn't involving them. They mess things up. We all have blind spots, though. We have stuff we don't see, areas of weakness or brokenness or ignorance that God will not give you the power to know and discover on your own. He put it in the person next to you. He chose to do it. You can argue with him when you get to heaven, but that's the way it is. You need the person next to you. And there's reasons why. We talked about that last week. Probably because it's so dang humbling. And God gives grace and power to the humble. And it's so humbling to be like, yeah, I wronged you. I was a jerk. I was a total idiot. I'm sorry. That's humbling. But man, the Spirit flows through humility. So that's one of my theories. But anyways, we want to pick up today with how. How do we speak truth? When it is appropriate, the appropriate time and the place. And if you want to know the when and how, that's last week, so check on that one a little bit. But I'm assuming that you're tracking here, and so that we know it's the appropriate time. We know we need to do it. Something's sticking with us. It's getting in our way of worship. And so we need to speak truth to our brother and sister. How do we do it? And I want to take us to a place, actually, right here in this passage that gives the overarching answer. Right there in Ephesians 4, where it says we're going to grow speaking the truth, and it says that one little hard word. Speak the truth in, what's the word? Dang it. That made it harder, didn't it? I'm good at speaking the truth. Man, you are an idiot. You were wrong. You were da da da. And then the Lord said, love. In other words, keep my mouth shut. So I want to take us to wrestle with that a little bit. And this is powerful. I'm feeling this powerful in me of like, wow, okay. When you soak in this a little bit and let what it means to speak the truth in love flow over you, it's like, whoa. I can see how, one, I need to speak the truth a lot less. And two, how powerful it will be, though, when I do. There's a passage, the passage that we looked at the first week. I want to jump back there in Colossians 3, 12 to 14, where Paul is talking about living out this community of grace with one another. And he describes, I believe, aspects of what it means to love, to speak the truth in love. Watch how he does this. Clothe yourselves, now, for one another, with one another, because this is all about how we're living it and pressing into relationship and community. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive each other. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together all in perfect unity. So that was like a cool, very cool link, because I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what does it mean to speak the truth in love? And he's like, I got you covered. Remember that passage we had the first week? It's all right there. Love binds all these things together in unity. So to speak the truth in love is being clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, peace, patience, forgiveness. So I believe that this is not just like one of those things to read over, like I'm reading the Bible and I'm starting to get into a list and I'm starting to get into those things of like, oh, I read this, that's really long, and I know I'm not going to do it anyway, so I'm on to the next thing. Too much for me. Next. Come on. You know those lists are in there. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is yeah, love's hard, next. As I was sitting and soaking in this, I'm like, dang, it's worthy to just sit and let the Lord wash over you, maybe one at a time, maybe one for a whole week, maybe one for a day, how these aspects together really round out a genius and powerful approach to speaking truth. There is a reason the Bible says, be slow to speak, quick to listen, because it's dangerous to speak truth. I mean, I know, because I am naturally really good at speaking truth, but I'm not good at love. I mean, I can go in with the guns blazing, the harsh accusations, the emphatic judgments. This is what you did wrong, fool, and this is why. And this is why I'm right, and this is why you're just basically an idiot. Ask people who know me well. I don't necessarily say that, but in the way that I can speak truth, it can feel that way. From the time I was little, like just 4 or 5, you know, my mom tells that story of like, I hated losing an argument with an 8-year-old. You know, like something's funky about that situation. And I can feel that. My wife laughs at me all the time as my 4-year-old has got that little gift, you know. And it's like, she just laughs, you know, just like, aha, welcome to my world, you know. But is it a helpful and effective in bringing the kingdom? No. The truth is dangerous. You know, like a surgeon's scalpel, you know, if not treated with extreme care, the truth can cause more damage than good. So this list for us who are good at speaking the truth is a motives check here. On are we ready to speak the truth in love? And if not, then it's not time to speak at all. So I'm in my own conviction here, sharing with you guys, in my own, in a blessing from the Lord, sharing that the Lord is good in the way that He wants to prepare us. Because as I walk through this, I'm like, wow. This is powerful. This, when the Lord's power has flown through me, and I have been in a humble enough state to let that happen, I have seen productive, powerful changes in myself and brothers and sisters around me for the good of His kingdom. And I walk through these, I'm like, dang, this is so genius, Lord. So let's walk through it a little bit here and in ourselves, in a sense, give ourselves a heart check. And if you're following along in the lift notes, I would encourage you to take these lift notes here and let them be food for you to soak in and sit in and let the Lord teach and challenge and convict and inspire. Because speaking the truth in love is so much a part of what could be and should be healthy life in community as followers of Jesus, but also in relationship, in everything we do as followers of Jesus. We're married, we got kids, we got friends, we got coworkers. So check out some of the stuff that the Lord has planned that He wants to empower us to do. To speak the truth in love, which would include compassion. Now, compassion, if you're following in the lift notes, is a gut-wrenching feeling of what they feel. I love the root of this word. You see it in the Gospels with Jesus. It has to do with a physical thing in your tummy, a belly response, like a gut, like, oh, that shouldn't be that way. Like that's what Jesus happened to him when he saw all these people that were hungry, 5,000 people. It was far away. They had followed Jesus far into the desert. And so they're hungry and they don't have any food. And Jesus went, oh, that's not a good thing. I can feel where they're at. I'm in their shoes. And I want to help them. Maybe you've seen that in the commercial on the TV that sometimes you just want to flip over the little child who's hungry and your gut goes, oh, that's not right. And you can immediately feel what that would feel like to be there. And sometimes just turn it off because I don't want to feel that. That's compassion. That's a gut reaction where you're in their shoes. And that's where it starts here. We talk about this actually in the week one of this series, but this is a good reminder. Before we speak the truth, first and foremost, God wants us to test and put ourselves in their shoes. Try to live their life for a little bit. And maybe when we feel where they're coming from and maybe what they're going through and some of the pressures they're facing, and we see things from their perspective a little bit more, there's a change in our hearts and a change in our understanding. Compassion is a key place to start. Kindness is when we really want what is best for them. This is a check, the motive of when we come in to speak truth. Do we really want what is best for them? The same word is used to speak of God's heart towards God's people. In Romans, where it says that God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance or to turn to Him. Now, check that out. God's kindness wants us to change. God isn't calling us to repentance because He wants to condemn us or point out how bad we are or how messed up we are. God wants us to turn to Him because He really wants what's best for us. And that is a very convicting heart check. The truth spoken in love isn't looking just to prove how wrong someone else is. You feel that? If you're speaking the truth in love, you're not out just to prove your superiority and their inferiority, and in whatever it may be. Morality, intellectual, whatever. But that's so many arguments get into that place where now it's just about me proving that I'm better than you in some way. And this heart check here is a truth spoken in love has not that motivation, but the true desire to see them grow, to see them healed, to see the good of community happen. And humility. Humility assumes or expects that you, meaning I, might be off base in what I share. The word humility literally means weak and low, like the position of a servant in a household. Contrast that with you're not on a high horse of judgment, confident in how right you are and how holier than thou you are, but you're at the low place of knowing I am just a weak. Without God's grace, man, I would be a mess. That list of forgive as Christ the Lord forgive you, that's in your mind of you know where you would be without God in your life, and it's ugly and it's not pretty, so there's a humility that rises up. It's not because I'm awesome. His grace has changed and transformed, so you know you're kind of your low place. I'm just a weak servant of the Master Jesus, and I don't claim to have it all together. So if a word is spoken in love, it's a word that would humbly share something like this. This is my perspective. This is my take. This is how I feel. That's a very, very important phrase in community. This is how I feel. But I may be off base on this. So I'll share with you and let's see if something resonates. Have you ever successfully done that? That is a night and day different way of approaching a conversation of truth versus coming in and just, here's where you are just an idiot. In your tone of voice, not in necessarily your words, but in your tone of voice, in your accusations, to come on the other hand and just, hey, here's some things I'm feeling and my perspective is my take. I want to share it with you. Let's see, if there's any truth to it, we'll work on it. That will transform your life and your marriage and your relationships. It did for me. That little phrase right there, that's in the Lyft notes. Take that home, and that is worthy of hours of prayer and reflection until that right there alone can sink in. Don't go anywhere. This one right here unlocks the kingdom in your life. Gentleness means if truth is spoken in love, then we don't go in with guns blazing in harsh condemnation I've kind of, exampled that so far, so I don't need to do it again. But you can, you know what it means to go in with your guns blazing, right? We all know what it means to not go in gentle. And I love how this word, the opposite of gentleness in the Greek is to be flared up. I like that because that's a visual of where I don't want to be. If I'm flared up, it is not going to be a productive conversation. Flared up. You know, that's kind of like a temper. So we're under control. If truth is spoken in love, if it's raining, then we will be under control when we're speaking truth. A couple more there. There's patience. Patience is content with slow progress. Check out that one. Whew. The truth spoken in love is a mindset. Now check this out. It's a mindset that realistically recognizes the long and slow process of our own growth, of our own journey. It's got the big picture in mind that remembers how far we've come and how long it's taken, the successes and the failures of our own life and our own self, and therefore is not unrealistically demanding of how much change should happen at once in another person. If you're honest with yourself, you can't be impatient with, oh man, you just gotta grow so fast. Because that's, yeah, like you did. Just put the mirror up. And all of us have been or are on this long journey, the successes and the failures. So with others, we don't now say, well, I took a while. But you should get really holy tomorrow. And you should be perfect and respond a lot better. Jesus is saying that doesn't mix. Truth spoken in love is with the same patience that God's had with you over the years of your own silliness. And lastly, it says forgive. This is another one that to me just love the root of it, the simple meaning. It comes from the notion of a hand opening up. And letting go of something, like you're handing something over. Forgive. Now, try this with me. Go ahead and everyone, just raise up your hand, raise up your fist. And I want you to clench it. And very seriously, right now, on three, one, two, three, clench it as hard as you can. And squeeze it. Don't stop. Squeeze it. Seriously, keep clenching. Clench it. You should feel a burn. If you're not feeling the burn, you're a liar. Feel it. Come on. And keep clenching. Come on. Come on. Come on. Squeeze it. And let go. Oh. Seriously. Ah. Oh. If you're not feeling the ah, we're not playing the game. Ah. Now, seriously, when that happens, relief. My heart's slowing down. I'm able to think. I mean, what else can you think of in life when, I'm having a great day, woo, praise the Lord, Lord's good, I love everybody. No, it's like, that's all. It's all right here. I can't think of anything else. My heart's racing. I can't even take a deep breath. I can't think straight. But I let go. There's this relief, and suddenly my heart's settling down again. My brain is coming back to me. I'm able to think. And that is exactly what forgiveness is. You're holding on to something that God says, let go. So my question, though, my very honest question is, well, what do I let go of? Because I'm confused. On one hand, God said, we're called to forgive as the Lord forgave us, which is a really long list if we're honest. So we might get confused and say, well, if I just forgive them and let everything go, I become this doormat that just gets walked all over. How am I supposed to tell the truth if I'm supposed to just let everything go, right? Letting go and telling the truth don't seem compatible. So what's the deal? Because if I'm confronting someone with the truth, I'm not letting it go. I'm bringing it up. So what are we doing? The key here, and we'll close, is what are we letting go? And this could be a whole sermon on its own, and it should be at an appropriate time. But in a nutshell, what the New Testament teaches by forgiveness, letting go, is the letting go of your right to punish and giving that to God. You see, when someone has wronged you, you do have a right to justice. They do deserve to be punished. What the New Testament says is we are not just judges. And to take the right of judgment into our unjust hands is very dangerous. So God says, in the context of community, I want to free you of that burden. Forgive them. Let go of your right to see justice happen, to see punishment in the time and if it's appropriate, and trust that I am the just judge who will take care of things in the right way and in the right time. That's not a burden you're meant to carry, because you're not going to get it right. And you're just going to live most of life like this and be exhausted. And you're the one that suffers when you live like this. You know, can I get an amen? Come on. You're the one that loses. So, forgiving someone, though, it doesn't mean we allow them to go on treating us like junk or wronging us. It's not what it is. We are called, so here's the difference. We are called to let go of the right to punish, but God gives us the right to speak the truth. So it's a truth spoken that is not in order to be a sentence of judgment, but to be a grace-filled invitation to grow. Now, there may be an appropriate time in which part of speaking the truth is so that you can set an appropriate boundary in your life and protect yourself. That's actually, we're going to look at that next week. Because there is a time and a place for that where God gives you the right to set a boundary that protects yourself if there is a regularly oncoming toxic attitude, action, relationship. Forgiving doesn't mean just let yourself be abused. No, that is not forgiveness. Letting go of the right to punish them and trusting the just judge, but he also gives you the right to speak the truth and set a boundary so that it doesn't continue to happen. We'll get more on that next week. But for today, in the context of speaking the truth in love, it has to do with that question of forgiveness. Are we at a place to speak the truth in love? Well, have we let go of the anger and the bitterness and the frustration that comes with holding on to our desire to see them punished or get justice? Have we given that to God yet and trusted that to him? If not, we're not ready to speak the truth in love. So all of these things together, wow. At the beginning of this series, I was like, all right, you know, part of what we need, it's all is good. It's grace and have the ethos of grace. But I want to really encourage people that in the context of community, we really need to learn how it's okay to speak the truth to one another. And then after preparing this message, I'm like, we're not going to be doing a lot of truth speaking to each other. We're just going to do a lot of, Lord, change my heart, to have healthy motives to be able to speak the truth. It's free of the judgment and the condemnation and the harshness and the accusation and the bitterness. It's more full of the patience and the humility and the compassion and the kindness and the forgiveness. So maybe it's, don't go out this week and just say, I got to apply it and speak the truth. It's no, I got to spend some good time, myself included. Spend some good time, Lord, transforming my life to see this is all Jesus. This is what he modeled. This is who he is for us, and this is who he modeled on this earth in his community. So, Lord, transform my heart to be more like Jesus so that in my community, in the right time and place, I can speak the truth in love. And when it is truly in love, then it will be powerful and productive to grow us. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your example in life, Lord. You came to not only be the way for us, but you also came to show the way of the life that we were made for, the life with God we were made for, and then how that transforms every relationship we have around us. So the life with others we are made for, the life in community we are made for. Thank you that you are always, regularly, that model, that example for us. It's beautiful. It's inspiring, Lord. It is the life I want to live. Lord, it's the life that as I've tasted, to the extent I've tasted it, Lord, it's like, that's so much better. So much better when I have spoken the truth in love, truly in love as described here. It is so powerful. It is so productive. It is so transforming. It is so freeing from the vicious cycle of conflicted, shallow, hurting relationships that I do on my own strength without you. So, Lord, would you just rain down your power in our life, Lord? Transform. We are hungry. Be transformed by our Savior so that we can grow and we can live out and model little glimpses of heaven to the world through our community. I want to ask you guys just to speak a simple, silent prayer to the Lord of, Lord, my heart is open. Teach me. Just say that if it's real. Lord, my heart is open. Teach me. Teach me throughout the week. Teach me today. There may be something that's already on your heart from the message today that is, you know, that's where the Lord wants to work. Make a note of it. Write it down. Mark it in your lift notes and go back to it today, tomorrow, lunch break, before breakfast, before bed. Make the time because he's worth it and you need it. Make the time to invest and say, Lord, what do you want to teach me? Teach me more. And spend some time there soaking in that. Letting him transform. And remember, anything he brings up, it's not because he wants to condemn. It's because he's got good news for you. He's got good news. He has a better life. He has the abundant life that he wants for you. So let him convict in that vein. It's not because he wants to judge. He wants to heal. Thank you, Jesus, that that's the kind of God you are, Lord. Pray that you would speak to us this week and be transforming us, Lord. Prepare us to be a people that can speak the truth in love. So far, so different from what we could do on our own, Lord. Help us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You came to do this kind of stuff. It's good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
More podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, Follow us on Twitter at We Are Elevation, and on Facebook, facebook.com/We Are Elevation.